Logic dictates that given their extremely high level of technical development...
Well, it's too technical to explain to the lay mind.
Well, I don't think that's the case at all, because you might consider yourself the lay mind, and we're going to be talking technicals with you now, and although technicals sound complicated, they're really not so complicated. You just have to have a really good expert to help you understand them. And we have that expert today. His name is Buck Clintworth. He is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. He works on the Chase Growth Fund, which is ticker symbol CHASX. If you'd like to learn more about Buck and the firm, chaseinv.com is their website. Buck Clintworth, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Well, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
There are a lot of countervailing forces right now, both in the economy and the market. And of course, we can look at events, Fed rate hikes, things along those lines, and they eventually show up in the technicals. But the bigger question becomes, as they start to show up in the technicals, what are they showing you? So here we sit with at least the talk that the Fed may have just done the last rate hike for the cycle. But how much does that cycle mesh up with any cycle you're seeing in technicals?
Yeah, you know, it's a market full of conflicting signals out there, and you can make a case for just about anything you like. You know, about 200 years ago, British Prime Minister George Canning said something to the effect of, I can prove anything by statistics except the truth. And so you can throw lots of statistics out there, but what's actually happening? You know, on the positive side, through April, the S&P 500 was up over 9%, a huge turnaround from how 2022 started. I'm sure everyone was delighted about that. And in addition, growth stocks have outperformed value stocks so far this year. That's a positive indicator that investors are willing to take on more risk. In addition, the S&P 500 remains bullish in terms of being in a seven-month up channel coming off October 2022 lows. So there's some things there that you look at and say, hey, everything is going good. But as I said, there are conflicting signals. While the S&P 500 was up over 9% through April, S&P 400 was only up 3%, and that shows the strong start to the year has been mostly large cap driven. When small caps are underperforming large caps, that's usually an indication that the risk appetite of investors is on the decline. That bodes poorly for the sustainability of the market rally we've seen so far this year. So on one hand, investors are willing to take on more risk when you look at growth versus value. But on the other hand, the risk appetite is declining when you look at small cap underperforming. That really raises the question, which is it? And what do you look at now?
So what are you looking at now? And which is it?
Well, whenever you have conflicting signals, you sort of have to take a step back and say, okay, what else can I look at? So if you want to say, okay, what's going to happen in the future? If you look at history, there are positive signs out there for where we may be headed. For example, when the S&P 500 doesn't violate the preceding year's December lows during the first quarter of the new year, market trades higher 83% of the time for the full year. So that bodes well for the year, but you have to remember we're already up this year, so we could trade flat to down, and that would still hold true, but that's not positive for the rest of the year. So take a step further back, and we look at the last 95 years. There have been 34 times the S&P has gained more than 5% in the first quarter. When that's happened, returns have slowed during the next two quarters, but they've still been positive, and they've improved during the fourth quarter. So there's something even more positive there for the rest of the year. And finally, if you want the biggest positive historical indicator of what the rest of the year may have in store for us, in 2022, it was the eighth time since 1950 that the S&P 500 posted a negative return in a midterm election year. What happened the past seven times? Every other time in the following year, the markets posted a positive return, averaging 26.6%, with the worst return being 18.9%. You're not going to get a more positive indicator of what the market may do the rest of the year than that.
How do you then respond to that? If that's the indicator that's going to be your beacon, how do you reposition or play that?
That's a great question, especially when you consider that we're entering the time of year where there's the old saying, sell in May and go away, which is based on the premise that investors should sell their positions in May and avoid higher periods of volatility and weak seasonality trends, and then get back in the market in November. The problem with that saying is it's only a half-true saying. You know, certainly we're in a period of time, and you've seen that over the last 15 years with the rise of electronic trading, with more quant shops out there where things are done automatically, there is a lot more volatility. And so investors need to be more nimble, but that doesn't mean sit on the sidelines for 6 months. It means be ready to move when things change. Historically, over the last 95 years, the May through October time period has posted a positive return 56% of the time. Average return is only 2.4%, which is less than the November through April time period, where the average return is 5.1%, but it's still positive. But you have September, which is a historically weak month. Historically, it's down. On the other hand, you have July, which is the strongest month out of all 12 of the months. But positive returns are still positive returns. You just have to move quickly and not say, well, I'm going to let things ride and not pay attention. That's great if you have the long-term view. But if you want to avoid the short-term pain, you have to be willing to move in and out of things.
And what are you moving out of? What are you moving into? I mean, I know you can't give us specifics, but you know, we've been looking at a lot of different things. And it can be styles, it can be asset classes, it can be sectors, it can be domestic versus international.
Yeah, you know, certainly one area you don't want to be right now is regional banks. Who knows how many of them are still going to be around by the end of the year. You know, one thing you have had happen this year is technology has perked up. Last year was a horrible year for the tech stocks. This year, the first 4 months of the year, they've rebounded. Now they've cooled off a little bit the last couple weeks, but perhaps they're emerging as a safer place. And you've seen that with the Apples, the Microsofts, the Googles of the world, the large cap, mega cap tech stocks, where they've done well as people see them as a safe haven with everything else going on. You know, right now, large is the place to be because of regional bank questions of interest rates. Will there be a recession? The large is the safe haven. Large is doing well. Therefore, you go with what the trend is and you go into large cap.
And large cap domestic.
Right. You know, now all the large cap stocks are going to have foreign exposure. But there's already enough uncertainty about what's going to go on in the U.S. without having to try and figure out what's going to go on in another country. You know, whether it's South America, which you could talk about in years past, inflation in these countries. Well, we've experienced inflation too. There's also political situations there. Political situations over in Europe, Russia. It's best to try and avoid as much uncertainty as you can. And really the way to do that for investors here is to focus on domestic companies.
So they're sticking with what they know. I think a lot of people will be pretty happy with that. And that outlook's going to make them at least comfortable, if not particularly comfortable, because this market's uncomfortable for all of us. Buck, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining me on the show to talk about it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Buck Clintworth, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. The Chase Growth Fund is CHASX. You can learn more about it and Buck and the firm at chaseinv.com.